Hi, this is Lillian Nejad. Welcome back to Overcoming Insomnia. In Lesson 1, you learned some facts about sleep, including the benefits of good sleep and the negative impact poor sleep can have on your physical and emotional health and daily functioning. You also learned about the biological mechanisms involved in sleep and how much sleep is ideal to function at your best, and why this course will focus on improving your quantity of sleep rather than your quality of sleep. Lesson 2 is going to focus on answering the question you may be asking yourself. Do I have insomnia? So when does a sleeping problem become a disorder? Everybody has trouble sleeping sometimes. Sleepless nights are common when we are experiencing stress or jet lag, or even if we're really excited about something. Having an occasional night with little to no sleep will have little impact on your daily functioning, besides feeling a bit tired the next day. However, if you are part of the 10 to 15% of the adult population that has persistent sleeping difficulties, then you've probably noticed that it's causing problems in one or more areas of your life. Insomnia, simply put, is difficulty falling or staying asleep. In clinical terms, difficulty falling asleep, called sleep onset insomnia, is when it takes more than half an hour to fall asleep. Difficulty staying asleep, called sleep maintenance insomnia, can mean that you wake several times a night, or you may wake up much earlier than usual and not be able to get back to sleep. Sleep onset insomnia is more common in early adulthood, whereas sleep maintenance problems usually affect older adults and the elderly. Certain criteria need to be met for your sleeping problem to be considered a clinical disorder. According to the latest Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Psychiatric Disorders, also known as the DSM-5, for your sleeping problem to be considered a diagnosable sleep disorder, your sleeping difficulties must occur at least 3 times a week for 3 months and cause significant distress and impairment to one or more areas of your life. This is what you might have noticed. You're spending loads of time in bed not sleeping. You feel tired when you wake up. You feel extremely sleepy and irritable during the day. You often worry about how much sleep you're going to get. And you feel like you can't cope with your usual responsibilities. Sound like you? Then sleep is a significant problem, whether you have a clinical disorder or not. There are 2 forms of insomnia, primary and secondary. Or are there? Until recently, insomnia was classified as a primary or secondary condition. Primary insomnia is a problem that occurs on its own and not due or in association with another problem or disorder. Secondary insomnia refers to insomnia occurring in conjunction with another disorder or issue. Insomnia is often secondary to psychological conditions like anxiety and depression or another sleep disorder, and to a range of medical conditions, like chronic pain or Parkinson's disease. Insomnia can also be a side effect of using or withdrawing from a variety of medications and substances. The removal of this distinction between primary and secondary insomnia in the DSM-5 is significant because it suggests that no matter how it begins or what condition it is associated with, insomnia requires its own evidence-based treatment alongside treatment for any co-occurring problems or disorders. Although it is helpful to understand the possible causes of insomnia, it's not always necessary for treatment. It is more important to understand why insomnia persists, and this is often due to our own thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and circumstances. The strategies detailed in this course target these maintaining factors and can be successfully applied to both primary and secondary conditions. Okay, you have insomnia. Now what? Before you read about all the helpful strategies, I'd like to tell you the best way to use this course. This is your opportunity to really understand what is going on with your sleep. To begin to improve your sleep, you first need to identify your sleeping pattern. You can do this by writing in a simple logbook. The important information to record is the time you go to bed, when you fall asleep, how many times you wake up, and for how long, and ratings for how you feel when you wake up, and how you feel during the day. Make sure you also record anything you think may have contributed to any difficulties you may have had falling or staying asleep on that night. Many people are using smartphone apps, bedside monitors, or wearable devices to collect and analyze this sort of information about sleep. If you've already been using one of these devices, that's great, because you will have collected the data you need to get started straight away. If you haven't, then you can make a choice between recording it yourself or using an app or device to do it for you. All of this information gathered over a couple of weeks will serve as both baseline data that you can compare to after you have used some of the strategies detailed in this course, and it will help you work out which strategies may be of most benefit to you to improve your sleep. Again, the important information to record are the date, the time you went to bed, the time you fell asleep, the number of times you woke up during the night, and how long you were awake each time, the time you woke up in the morning, the total hours you spent in bed, the total hours of sleep, and ratings of how you felt when you woke up. You can rate it from 1, extremely tired, to 10, extremely refreshed. Also rate your level of fatigue during the day from 1, not at all, to 10, extremely. And also write down anything you think that might have affected your sleep that night. A sample entry might go the date, October 12th, 2019. I went to bed at 10:30 p.m. I fell asleep at 11:30 p.m. I woke up twice during the night, the first time at 12:15 a.m. for 15 minutes, and the second time at 3 a.m. for 30 minutes. Then I woke up in the morning at 7 a.m. The total hours spent in bed was 8.5 hours. The total hours of sleep was 6.75 hours. I felt tired when I woke up. I would rate it 3 out of 10. And the fatigue during the day, I would rate at a 7 out of 10. The things that might have affected my sleep are that I drank a glass of wine before bed, and I also had to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Recording this information over a period of 1 or 2 weeks will help you identify your current sleeping patterns, clarify how your sleeping patterns are affecting you during the day, and discover what might be contributing to the problems you have falling and/or staying asleep. If you decide to seek professional help, this information will be extremely helpful and will assist the clinician to choose the best treatment for you. Why don't you get started on your logbook right now? I suggest pausing this lesson so you can find a place to write in the important details of your current sleeping pattern. You might choose to download a specific sleep logbook, or you can designate a notebook as your sleep journal. Or feel free to develop your own chart on paper or on your computer. Once you have this ready, restart the lesson, and I will guide you through your first logbook entry. Are you ready? Let's make a logbook entry for last night. First, write down the date. Then write down the time you went to bed. Not the time you went to sleep, but the time you got into bed and turned out the lights with the intention of falling asleep. Now write down the time you think you fell asleep. You may not know the exact time, but you may have an idea of how long it took you to fall asleep. If you are using a device to track your sleep, then you'll be able to record this in a more exact way. Just do the best you can. Next, did you wake up at night? If you did, write down what time it was and how long you were up. If you woke up more than once, record all the times you woke up and the times you went back to sleep. Feel free to pause this lesson while you are writing in your information. Now write down what time you woke up in the morning. You may wake up very early in the morning, like 3 a.m., and not go back to sleep. If this is the case, then this would be your wake-up time. Now it's time to calculate the total hours that you spent in bed. This is the time you got into bed with the intention to fall asleep, all the way to the time you woke up. If you woke up in the middle of the night and stayed in bed until you fell back asleep, you can count this time as well. If you got out of bed in the middle of the night, subtract this from the total. Next, calculate the total hours of sleep. This is the time that you spent actually sleeping, not just in bed. Make sure to subtract the times that you were awake during the night. Now you're done with the calculations. Let's get on to the ratings. Rate from 1 to 10 how tired you were when you woke up. You can rate it from 1, extremely tired, to 10, extremely refreshed. Then rate your fatigue during the day, from 1, not tired at all, to 10, extremely tired. Keep in mind this final rating you would most likely do in the evening, while the rest of the logbook would ideally be completed in the morning right after you wake up, so that you can remember everything. Finally, don't forget to reflect on what might have affected your sleep last night. You will get more of an idea of the things that may be interfering with your sleep in the following lessons, like issues to do with your sleeping environment, or what you did during the day. Or maybe it had something to do with your mood, or a situation that was concerning you. Spend a few moments completing your entry. Well done. Now you've completed the first step in overcoming insomnia. Continue to record these details in your logbook for at least 1 week, or ideally 2. You'll be surprised at how much you can find out about your sleeping patterns and what might be getting in the way of a good night's sleep. The following lessons in this course will target the various factors that can interfere with your sleep, including the environment, what you do during the day, what you do before you go to bed, unhelpful thoughts, and other problems and disorders you may have in addition to insomnia. My recommendation is to listen to the course in its entirety and then go back to the lessons that are most relevant to you. For the best results, implement only 1 or 2 changes at a time. Once you have chosen 1 or 2 strategies, it is important to rate their effectiveness over time with respect to your specific goals. Your goals may include 1 or more of the following: to fall asleep more quickly, to have less disrupted sleep, to sleep longer, or to feel less tired during the day. You can use a diary or a logbook to record pertinent information. The information you need to record includes the following: the date, the strategies you are using, the time it took you to fall asleep, your total hours of sleep, the level of fatigue during the day, rating it from 1, not at all, to 10, extremely. A sample entry might look like October 24th, 2019. The strategies were a dark room and a relaxation exercise before bed. It took 15 minutes to fall asleep. I woke up 1 time for 15 minutes. The total hours of sleep were 6.5 hours, and my fatigue during the day was 5 out of 10. Feel free to add more categories, but make sure they are directly related to your goals. Record this information every day. Start with 1 or 2 strategies so you can determine what has been useful. And remember, it can take several weeks before you see improvement in your sleep. If you find you're becoming impatient or frustrated, or that you're not applying the strategies consistently, don't worry. There are so many resources out there to keep you on track. This is the focus of Lesson 9, which discusses when to get extra help and the evidence-based strategies that are most effectively implemented with the assistance of a sleep specialist. The most important thing to know is that insomnia is a problem you can overcome through strategies that are backed by years of research. Focus your energy on putting in place what you need to succeed. You know yourself. Do what works best for you. Now let's get to it. We've now come to the end of lesson 2. In the next lesson, we will cover how to create a sleep-friendly environment and the daytime deeds that may be interfering with your sleep. Thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.